whisper his name, whisper his name, whisper his name, and he will answer you. Whisper his name, whisper his name, whisper his name, and he will come to you. Just call out his name,
Jesus.
Call out his name,
Jesus.
Call out his name,
Jesus.
And he will come to you. Sing with me. Call out his name,
Jesus.
Call out his name,
Jesus.
Call out his name,
Jesus.
And he will come to you. Call out his name,
Jesus.
Shout out his name,
Jesus.
Shout out his name,
Jesus.
And he will run to you. For when we lose,
for when we lose our selfish pride,
and when we fall down on our knees,
and when we fall down on our knees, for when we lift our hands and say, you're all we need,
just call out his name. Call out his name,
Jesus.
Call out his name,
Jesus.
And he will come to you. Call out his name,
Jesus.
Call out his name,
Jesus.
Call out his name,
Jesus.
And he will come to you. Shout out his name,
Jesus.
Shout out his name,
Jesus.
Shout out his name,
Jesus.
And he will run to you. Shout out his name,
Jesus.
Shout out his name,
Jesus.
Shout out his name,
Jesus.
And he will run to you. Oh, we repent, Lord. We humbly ask.
And Lord, we fall down on our knees. We lift our hands to you and say, you're all we need.
You're all we need. You're all we need. You're all we need. So glory to you in the highest place. Glory to you in the highest place.
Glory to you in the highest place. Glory to you in the highest place. Glory to you in the highest place. Glory to you in the highest place. Glory to you in the highest place. Glory to you.
Jesus.
Shout out his name,
Jesus.
to let us be comfortable with worship. But let us be uncomfortable with our sin. You are holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We join in the song of heaven with the cherubim and the seraphim as they sing to you day and night, basking in your glory. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee.
Holy.
Sing with us.
This is the air I breathe.
You are.
This is the air I breathe.
Thank you. lost.
I'm lost without you.
Lost without you.
Oh, we're desperate.
I'm desperate for you.
I'm desperate for you.
One last time, I'm lost.
I'm lost without you.
Lost without you.
You may be seated.
Over the past few weeks, we have been talking about what does it mean and what could it mean for us to experience an extreme spiritual makeover. Today, I want you to get a copy of God's Word, and I want you to look with me to our thematic verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23 that I'm going to read from in a moment. If you already have that verse chosen, we're also going to read today from Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So, if you are of the old school and understand what a Bible sword drill is, your own, baby. Get to rolling. But if you would please, let's begin with 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 23. Listen to the reading of the scripture. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Amen. Did you get that? The God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your spirit, look at the phases, soul and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the scripture here talks about this element of the spirit. Today, what I'm going to talk about is releasing your spirit. In the depths of who you are, there is a spirit. And today, I'm talking about what it means to release your spirit. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is that I'm going to share something with you that I believe is biblical, it's practical, and I even believe it's logical. I'm going to walk you through 1 Corinthians 5. I'm going to build from 1 Corinthians 5. And I want to begin that whole process, introduction, by giving to you a simple graphic. I could have given you this in week one, but I didn't want you to stumble. I wanted to build it from a biblical basis, and that's what I've done all these weeks. And today what I'm going to do is to show you what we've been teaching to you. First of all, you will understand that we have said that every one of us have a body. And as that graphic comes on the screen today, you will notice it. The external man, the external of who you are, the skin, represents a body. Inside of that body, there is a soul. We have taught you that the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion. Now, that's a tough order right there because you know the mind is tough, and the will is tough, and the emotion is tough. We've talked about controlling each of those. And then, today we're going to go to the inner core of who you are, and it's your spirit. In the depths of who you really are, you have a spirit. So if you would, externally, there's the body. Then there is the soul. And in the depths of who you are, there is your spirit. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is that I'm going to walk you through four questions. I'm going to camp out on question one. I'm going to camp out on question two. Question three and four are going to go rather quickly, so don't get tense about the joy. Now, if you would, I want to begin with question number one today. What are the biggest problem areas of your life? Oh, Ronnie, there's not enough time for you to identify the biggest problem areas of my life. But today what I'm going to talk about is those biggest problem areas of your life. What I've done is that I've identified four. Now, about these four, let me say this on the front end. This puts us all on the same ground. It puts us on level ground. And here are the problem areas. Problem number one you have is your mind. I mean, your mind's a real issue. Your mind, if you don't control it, will pollute your body. And if you pollute your mind or dilute the power that God wants to have over your mind, you can lose your life. Did you know that? Nothing will destroy you any quicker than losing control over your mind. What you think about, Proverbs says, you become. Problem number two is your will. Well, I tell you what now, when I was a kid growing up, I don't remember anybody saying, well, you know, this guy's a strong-willed baby or this baby's a strong. Maybe they said that in my nursery at the First Baptist Church of Yoakum, Texas, when I was born initially right there. I mean, maybe they said that, but you know, I don't think anybody talked about strong-willed children back then. Bottom line is, I don't know if a child anywhere in the world doesn't have a strong will. Now, some got a bigger case than another, I might add. But strong will is natural. It's our old sinful nature. It's us declaring our rights, our authority, our independence. It's going to be my way or no way at all. So therefore, you got a will problem. And then you have an emotional issue. That's right, every one of us do. You say, are you calling me an emotional wreck? No, I'm not calling you that. You calling me nutsola? No, I'm not calling you that. Oh, what do you call? I'm not calling you that. I'm just telling you, we all have emotional issues. All you got to do is have something not go your way and you get emotional about it. Right? Anybody with me today? I mean, something not exactly happened the way you have planned it or desired in your life. I mean, you get emotional about it. And therefore, we're either on the top of the mountain or we're in the depths of the valley. When something doesn't happen the way it ought to happen, boy, we get angry at times. We fire off. If you missed last week, you need to go outside today as you depart, and you need to get a copy of the message because it was a strong message last week. Biblical exposition all the way, challenging us out of Galatians 5, this whole element of what it means to be in control of your emotions. So we talked about that last week, but it's a problem when it's not under control. And then we finally have a body problem. That's right. Now, you may imagine yourself to be some kind of hunk or some kind of babe. It's so wonderful. I got some bad news for you. You're decaying. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how hard you work on it. I mean, you're decaying. Now, the reason you work out is kind of slow down the process. The reason you work out is so when God takes you underwater physically one day, you can fight back. Because sooner or later, you're going to be underwater and you're going to lose that battle. But there are times in life that you're going to go underwater for a while and you can win. So your body, I mean, you know, I've talked about it. Is that not right? I mean, I talked about it the first weekend. Some of you liked it, some of you didn't because you got a little offended by it. Well, you shouldn't get offended by the Word of God. I mean, all I did was preach the Word of God to you. The bottom line is, the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, your body is where God lives. So you're supposed to take care of your body. Now, you know, you got to wear that and however you want to wear that. It's between you and the Lord. But I'm telling you, your body belongs to God. Amen. Now, those are your problems. That's not too bad, is it? You say, oh, Ronnie, you don't understand. I got a kid problem. No, you don't. You got one of those other four problems. Oh, man, you don't understand. My marriage is in trouble. You see, what happens is we emphasize the symptoms, but we don't get to the root issue of problems. And the core issues would be the things that I've talked about already today. Now, let me make a simple observation in this rational and logical step-by-step explanation. Their greatest role is never to lord over you in any way, but to serve you. And I'm talking about their, meaning your mind, will, emotion, and body. Their greatest role is to never lord over you, but to serve you. What does that mean? That means that you should not be controlled in a negative way by your mind, in a negative way by your will or your emotion, or if you don't take care of your body, you're going to be controlled even by your body in a negative way. So what do we have to do? We have to get ourselves back in the Word of God, and we've got to look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23, perhaps in a little bit newer light even today, different than what we have been looking at it. Let's take a look. Listen to what he says. Now may the God of peace himself, God of peace himself, God himself, listen to me. The only way you're ever going to win the battle over the mind, the will, the emotion, and the body is through God himself, period. That's it. You don't have a chance any other way. Because you see, the scripture here makes it real clear that it is God himself who sanctifies you completely. That word sanctify, it means to be set apart. It means that God is going to make you holy. It means that you're in the process of becoming Christ-like in your life. Now that word sanctification, it's kind of a scary word for some of us. We would say, well, man, that's a big old church word. Well, I'm telling you, you can go to a lot of churches today and you'll never hear that word. It's a biblical word that the church ought to talk about. So can we talk about it today? Yes, sir. Go ahead, Pastor. I'll be glad to. Listen to what sanctification is. Sanctification begins at conversion and concludes at death. That's what sanctification is. The moment you come to Christ, he forgives you of your sins. You declare him as Lord. You begin sanctification, the process of becoming holy before God, of becoming more Christ-like. The other side of that is what? Is that when you die one day, all of the sanctification process ends. So let's look at it this way. Before Christ, that's what your life is like, before Christ. Before Christ, what happens? You understand you're a sinner, and then you come to a point, a watershed moment, a turning point. It happened for me when I was in high school, and that moment was in 1971. And in that moment of the fall of 1971, what happened? Christ came into my life, and I was justified from my sin. That's justification. So pre-Christ, I come to a moment when I'm justified. Justified meaning what? It means to be set free from. It's a legal term. Justified means what? Just as if I'd never sinned. That's the way God looks at me. Easy way to remember that. When you know Christ is your Savior, he looks at you just as if you've never sinned. Isn't that great? Now, the moment you come pre-Christ, then you move in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in Christ. So I'm saved. Here's my marker moment. And the moment I am there, then I become sanctified. Now, all right, again, that process of sanctification, that's what it means to be in Christ. So I'm in the process of being sanctified. I'm becoming more like Christ. And then one day when I die, that's another marker for me. Would you agree? I mean, that's a marker. And what happens at that moment is that I have life after Christ. So pre-Christ, in Christ, post-Christ, or post-life. Yeah, right. Yeah, good. Okay, now, with all that, whatever I said, that means it's glorification, all right? And what that means is that you become just like him, and you will become just like him as you see him as he is. Amen. So with that, all that is so important to remember. Now let me go a little bit deeper on this sanctification. This sanctification, it is a process. That's what it is. It's a process. It's not easy being sanctified. It's not easy walking in sanctification. Why? Because you are in the process constantly of becoming more like Christ. That means you're trying to gain more and greater control over your mind, your will, your emotion, and your body. You're trying to overcome sin. You're trying to deal with matters. You're trying to become more like Jesus. And that's really difficult in life. It's not an easy journey. But it's not only a process, it's progress. That's exactly what it is. It's progress. You see, the moment I came to Christ, yes, God looked at me just as if I'd never sinned. But you know what? It's a process and it's a progress that I have made through the years. All right? Now, there are things that I do today, that I do not do today, that if I did, they would be sin to me. But in reality, they may not be sin to you. Now, obviously, there are those things that are absolutes that we all have to understand sin. But you know, we understand that? We understand that being growing in grace. That's what Paul says. Growing in grace is growing in that sanctification. So there are some things in my life that I don't do any longer. And they may not be a problem for you in your life. Now, if you continue to grow in the Lord, they might be. And there may be some things that would be sin to some of you in this room today that may not quite honestly be that to me today. Because I haven't grown to that in my life. And God perhaps hasn't revealed that as sin in my life. Now, He will as I continue to progress and make progress in life. Therefore, sanctification is a process, and sanctification is progress. All right, now that's question number one. Question number two is this question. What about the Spirit? What about the Spirit? I'm not talking about the Spirit of God. I'm talking about your spirit. Remember what 1 Thessalonians 5 says? You are body, soul, and spirit. It's to be kept sound and blameless for the coming of the Lord Jesus. So what does that mean? What about the Spirit? He's talking about in the depths of who you are, there is a Spirit. Now, if you have a Bible, look with me to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, in Ephesians 2, listen carefully to the word. Let me start before I go to Ephesians 2. What about the Spirit? Let me tell you about the Spirit. Dead. That's what the Spirit is. It's dead. You're dead by your nature and you're dead by your choices. Let me just make it real clear. When I was born dead spiritually. Cruz Memorial Hospital, Gonzales, Texas, November 11, 1955. A pivotal day in the great state of Texas. But I was born dead, spiritually. I was alive, claiming my rights, but I was born dead, spiritually. The Bible here talks in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. Look at the scripture. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Dead. That's where you were. You were dead in your trespasses and your sins. And then he talks about in verse 2 how you previously walked like that. That's where all of us are. Every one of us in this room today, if we have never come to a time, a place, a point, a moment in our lives where we have knowingly and willingly given our lives to Christ, we are dead in our sins and in our trespasses. Dead. Dead spiritually. Maybe alive as can be, but we're dead spiritually. But notice what happens. There comes a moment. There comes a time. And notice what happens here. We previously walked according to our flesh. We've previously walked by our nature. We were children under the wrath of God, as everyone else was. But then all of a sudden, dead became what? Alive. Alive. So our spirit, which is dead, is now alive. What does that mean? Well, I tell you what. Chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 of Ephesians are two powerful, powerful verses. Paul here builds this case about how we're dead, how we're walking in the depth of our trespasses and sins, how we're under the domain of the atmospheric domain of a ruler of darkness, how we are under the flesh of ourselves and the carnal flesh of ourselves, and we are literally depraved and we're carrying out every inclination of our flesh as everybody else is in the world. But look at verse 4. But God, amen. But God, who is abundant in mercy, look at it in verse 4. Because of His great love that He had for us, what did He do? Underline it. made us alive. Verse number 5. He made us alive with the Messiah, the anointed one, the Lord Jesus, even though we were dead in trespasses. And look at the last phrase of that verse. By grace you are saved. Amen. So I was dead, and all of a sudden Jesus woke my spirit up. Jesus called me to salvation. You know what's amazing? John 6:44 talks about that I don't come to the Spirit, I don't come to Jesus on my own. The Father draws me to the Lord Jesus. People talk all the time, oh, you can come to Jesus whenever you want. Sorry, you really can't. You got to be drawn by the Father. The Lord has to draw you, he has to convict you, understand Jesus is the only way to your life, and the only way to life. You have to understand you're a sinner. He personalizes it for you. And all of a sudden he takes death and he brings it alive. Therefore, I was dead, but now I'm made alive by the mercy of God and by the grace of God. Thank God for those two words in verse 4. But God. And then all of a sudden, the moment I become converted, I become one. All right? The moment I say yes to Christ, my spirit becomes one with the Spirit of God. I mean, if you want to know where you're right with God and you're always in right relationship with God, it's in your spirit. It's in the depths of your spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me show you what happens. Chapter 12, verse number 13. For we were all baptized by one spirit into one body. Who baptized us? It was the Holy Spirit. Whether we're Jews or Greeks, in other words, doesn't matter what we are. Whether we're slaves or free, doesn't matter if we're slave or free. For we were all made to drink of one Spirit. That Spirit is the Spirit of God. So the moment I confess my sin and ask Christ in my life, the moment that happened, my spirit became one with the Spirit of God. Nothing can interrupt that oneness. When that occurred in my life and when that occurs in your life, here's what happens. The Spirit baptizes you at salvation. Some people say, well, you know, I believe you're baptized by the Holy Spirit at a separate time after you trust Jesus. Incorrect. Biblically, can't prove it. You are baptized the moment you are saved. Why are you baptized by the Holy Spirit? Here's the key. You're baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, the family of God. You may have not joined a local church, but you're still a part of the church. Now, you need to join a local church because you've already been baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. You need to be a part of a visible union that God has you spiritually involved with. And what he does is the Spirit of God places you into the family of God. And then the Spirit of God comes to live in you, and you live in that oneness, and you're empowered for your life. In other words, the Holy Spirit doesn't come and go, but the Holy Spirit comes and he abides within you. Are you with me? Now, dead, alive, you become one, and then all of a sudden, your spirit can become strengthened. Strengthened. How do I know that? Well, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. We know John 3:16. We need to learn a little bit more about Ephesians 3:16. He says, I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory. Look at what he says. To be. Look at what the scripture says. Say that word out loud. Strengthened with power through his spirit in the, look at this, inner man. What's in the depths of who you are? It's your spirit. Your spirit was dead. Now your spirit is alive. Your spirit is one with the Holy Spirit. And now what Paul is saying is this inner man, this spirit of you that you have that is now alive, that was once dead, you got to grow it. You got to nourish it. You got to strengthen it. You got to do everything you can to make it stand up and be strong on its own under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So the great news today is that your spirit can be strengthened. Therefore, let me just say these words to you. The Spirit's power is limitless in your life. You agree with that? Say amen. And the Spirit of God can energize your inner man. That's what he says here. The Spirit energizes your inner man. He strengthens you. And you know what? He does it according to his riches in glory. Wow, I think he's pretty rich, don't you? And that Spirit then strengthens your inner man. Now, I want to say again, what is your inner man? It is your spirit. The depths of who you are is your inner man. I'm going to give you a statement. You're not going to see it on the screen today, but I really want you to grasp it, and I want you to get the statement. Your body will decay. Your soul may wander, but your spirit can be strengthened. Listen to it again. Your body will decay. It's not optional. It will decay. Your soul may wander. You know, that old mind and will and emotion, it wanders, does it not? Anybody ever deal with that? Yeah, okay. If you don't, then, you know, you're dealing with it because you're lying, all right? And you don't even know you're dealing with it. Your soul may wander, but your spirit, God says, can be strengthened. Folks, what an encouraging word that is in your life and my life, because we have to strengthen the spirit within us that is right now in oneness with the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, we come to question number 3. I told you question 1 is going to take a few moments. Question 2 is going to take a few moments. Question 3 is relatively simple and quick. How does this occur? How does this strengthening occur? Remember, we're logically, rationally, spiritually, and biblically working through. How does this occur? How does my spirit become strengthened? How does my inner man be strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God? All right, now again, I'm not going to give you this on the screen, but I'm going to give you what God's Word teaches us, and we should know if we've been around Jesus any length of time at all. But let me just bring it up again, all right? I'm going to make it simple where you can remember it. Are you ready? How can you be strengthened? By abiding in the Word of God. I'm going to give you 3 ways, and they're not separate. They go together. They're not a singular fruit. They're a cluster. Abiding in the Word of God. To the degree that you abide in the Word will be the degree that your spirit is strengthened and your inner man is strengthened. Don't minimize the power of God's Word in your life, or you will make a sore mistake for your life. Abiding in the Word of God. Secondly, communing with the Son of God. Communing with the Son of God. Praying. Communing, fellowshipping with the Son of God. And then thirdly, surrendering to the Spirit of God. So it's a cluster. If I am going to have my inner man strengthened, then what's going to happen is what? I am going to abide in the Word. I'm going to commune with the Son of God, and I'm going to surrender my life to the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, speak to my life. Spirit alone can help you, but I'm telling you, you got to base it on concrete, powerful Word of God. You got to spend time in the Word. You've got to spend time with Jesus and talk to Jesus. You need to let Him talk to you through the Word, and then you need to talk to Him after you've been in the Word. Are you with me? Because the Word's going to alter what you say to Him. If it doesn't, you're in real trouble, because it's always going to be about you. You're not going to pray according to the will of God. You don't pray according to the will of God, you won't have your prayers answered. You pray by the will of God by one thing, and that is by the Word of God. Then you are empowered, you are filled, you are surrendering to the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, what are the 4 biggest problems you got? Mind, will, emotion, and body. Then you go through this little process of all that, which, what about your spirit? It's dead, alive, it becomes one, and then it's strengthened. How does your spirit become strengthened? Abiding in the Word of God, communing with the Son of God, and what? Surrendering to the Spirit of God. Then you come to that final question that's kind of a tough question to answer, but not necessarily. What is the goal? I mean, I need to know what the goal is. Amen? I got to be able to win the game. If I'm going to win the game, I got to know what the goal is. So today, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give to you what the goal is. Are you ready? The goal is for the Holy Spirit to be released through our lives continually. That's the goal. The goal is for the Holy Spirit to be released through our lives continually. Continuously. It's got to happen constantly. Now again, how's that going to happen? If I don't spend time in the Word of God, I don't spend time in communion with God, and I don't spend time surrendering to the Holy Spirit of God, I'm just telling you right now, He will not be released. And my mind and my will and my emotion and my body will lord over me, and that's not the will of God. The will of God is for the mind, the will, the emotion, and the body to be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if any of you have ever fasted and prayed, that's why, and many of you have, the longer you fast and pray, the more your spirit becomes alive. Everything begins to change. Why? Because your spirit is calling into order your mind, will, emotion, and body. That's what's happening. It's hard to understand it when you're in it, but that's exactly what's going on personally. Spiritually and biblically. It's calling into order. It's putting everything under the lordship of Jesus in your life. And no longer is your mind, will, emotion, and body running like a bunch of renegades out here, standing defiantly against the will of God for your life. Now, we're doing good. Now, I want to give you a final graphic. And I could have built this graphic, not me personally. I can ask people to build things. I'm not a builder, all right, in that relationship. But I could have technologically asked my guys, I want you to build this graphic. But I didn't want to do that. That means we're going to stage it for you. I want to just lay it up here, and I want to just teach you from it. So I want y'all to bring the final graphic up, and I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to leave it there until I say you can put it down, okay? Don't take it down until I ask you to. Now, look at this graphic. Body, soul, spirit. Look at the body. I know it's going to be tough on you, but I want you to say that word that marked right off of body. All right, are y'all ready? I want you to say that word. What is it? Decaying. All right, it's kind of hard to say, isn't it? I mean, to know that this incredible deal right here, I mean, that incredible deal you got, I mean, it's in the process. Isn't that right? Doesn't matter what you do to make it look better. I'm just telling you, it's in the process. It's decaying. All right? Now, then we have a soul. What did we tell you that soul was comprised of? It's very simple. Read it out there. What is it? The mind, will, and emotion. Are you with me? Now, notice the body is external. And then inside of your external is that soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotion. And then in the depths of who you are, there is the spirit. Now, in that spirit, let's walk through those words. Remember, your spirit was once what? Say the word out loud. Dead. Now, for every one of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our spirit is no longer dead. But let me just stop right here. In a crowd of this size, there will be many people. You have never come to a moment and an hour and a time in your life where you have confessed Jesus was not your Lord and Savior. You have never asked Him into your life. You have never declared Him as the Savior of the world personally. You've never let Him come to live in your life as Lord and Savior. Therefore, you are still dead. You may be here today full of life externally, but if you were to peel back the onion of your body and your mind and your will and your emotion, internally you are dead spiritually. Dead. Great news is, Jesus doesn't want you to remain dead spiritually. He came to take away your sins, to become the Savior of the world. And when you are willing to yield yourself to Him and you establish that moment, a watershed moment, a turning point in your life, when you turn to Him, then what happens? You who were dead become what? Say the word. Alive. Are you with me? Now, the moment you become alive, He wakes you up and everything changes that day. In the very moment that happens, you become what? What do you become? What's that next word? One. One. One with the Holy Spirit. One with God. One in the body of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? One in the family of God. I mean, you're with Him. He's baptized you. He's placed you into the family. And no one can get you out of the family. You know why? Because He did it. He adopted you, man. You have full rights, full privileges of the family of God. Now that you got that, what are you going to do with it? Well, if you don't do anything with it, even though it's exciting, the mind, the will, and the emotion of the body is going to rule you. But it doesn't have to be like that, because what have I taught you today? You can become what? What's that final word? Strengthened. Remember how you become strengthened? By abiding in the Word of God, communing with the Son of God, and surrendering to the Holy Spirit of God. You got it? Say, got it. Now, with all that, all of a sudden, when you have abided in the Word, and you have communed with the Son of God, and you've surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God, look at the graphic. The Spirit, remember, which is one with the Spirit of God, He becomes released through your life. And I mean, it's like a jet. You ever been on a jet when that jet takes off? I mean, boy, it's like this. And I mean, oh man, it's wow. What a moment. I never get over it. I mean, it's pretty exciting. And if you've been on a little pole jumper, it's pretty exciting too. You know, I remember back in that Fayetteville Airport out there. Any of y'all remember that? That'd make you come to Jesus now. Because I'm going to tell you, you get up there and you see that mountain right up there to your right, and you want to recommit your life to anything there is. But I'm telling you, man, it's like this. I remember one time we were at Beaver Creek with some friends, and they had flown us out there with them privately. And I mean, we got on that jet, and there's that mountain up, this huge mountain in that airport. I mean, boy, that jet just, boom, just like that. And that was a great moment. Thank God it went up. That's what the Holy Spirit does in your life. I mean, do you realize? Look at it this way. When He is released through your life, listen to me now. The environment changes completely in your mind. The Spirit of God changes the environment of your mind, your will, your emotion, and your body. Everything's changed. And when He can lift through all that junk that gets in our way, then the culture around us is changed. Are you with me? Case in point, look at what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico right now. A 5-inch hole in the depths of the ocean, spewing out incredible source of oil, is affecting the entire environment of the Gulf of Mexico and perhaps the life of this nation. Wonder what would happen if in our lives, hundreds of us, thousands of us, millions of us who claim that Jesus is Lord would be so empowered and released by the Holy Spirit of God that, I mean, we could affect culture and environment by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's God's will. Because He wants us released in every way. And that's the hope of the world. This past week, one of our great members at Springdale, he died. And he was one of our staff members' dads. At the same time, over in Amarillo, Texas, one of our other staff members' fathers passed away. Both great men of God. One had a barber shop here in Rogers for years. A soul winner. Loved the Lord Jesus. Loved his church. Very committed to Christ. He was the father of Chris Emmert. And then Denny Hyde's father died. Denny's daddy, his name was Shad. And Shad pastored the great Paramount Church in Amarillo for years. Shad was 85 and he got promoted to heaven this past week. I conducted Fred Emmert's funeral. And tomorrow, there will be another one of our great members at Springdale whom I will assist in conducting that funeral, a former pastor who joined our fellowship. His name was Gene Webb, a great man. And Gene went to be with Jesus yesterday morning early. Now listen, those caskets, they've set here. Man, they've sat in that campus at Springdale. Have you ever asked yourself what happens to those people the moment those people die? You see those bodies, and those bodies, they look the same, but there's no life. Why? Because when death happens, where the Lord Jesus lived in you, The spirit leaves the body, and the spirit goes to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. And that's what happened in all three of those great men in their lives, and anyone else who has ever died in the Lord. Their spirit went to be with the Lord Jesus. And one day when King Jesus shows up in the clouds and he says, okay, all this has gone long enough and far enough, and he calls them home. Every cemetery those men are buried in and every cemetery in the world will be interrupted by those who are the chosen, the saved by the blood of the Lamb. And the body, which was not able to stand on its own any longer, will be raised to walk with glorified body. And together, the spirit and the body will come together and will live forever with the Lord. My friend, that's our hope. That's our hope. And that's why today, that if your spirit's not alive, you need to make it alive and let Jesus bring life to it today. And if it's struggling, and that old mind and will and emotion and body are winning, then you have got to come alongside of that and let God nourish you and grow you beyond that, where it's not always winning the battle. But the Spirit, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, is winning that battle.